Welcome to the University of the Free State Career Services podcast, where we talk to experts about the ins and outs of jobs and share tips that will give you a grip on your future career. I'm Belinda Janneke, and today in studio with me, we've got Dr. Sebo Lau. Doctor, how is it going today?
Great, and how are you? You're looking lovely.
Oh, yes. My God, oh, thank you. You yes. Too, nah? Very smart, very smart. We have to.
Yeah,
we
no. Have to. Me too.
Dr. Rosaline, this is quite an impressive biography, very short and sweet, but it's quite impressive to see, you know, where you have started and your entire career. But I want you to explain to our listeners, you know, sort of like, where did this all start for you and where you are currently at? Because that was quite a journey.
Yeah, and I always say it's like an old shoe telling its story, if I have to say this. But yeah, I started as a nurse, professional nurse. I did my four-year diploma in nursing psychiatry, community nursing science, and midwifery. And 6 years down the line, I left nursing to go and become a community liaison officer. But while I was there, after completing my nursing diploma, I started with the Bachelor of Social Science. So in the humanities here, I'm an alumni.
Okay.
Yeah, so I did my Bachelor of Social Science and then honors in industrial psychology. Because I thought, okay, I love working with people, so let me see where this will take me. But you know what? I never thought, I decided, not going to be a psychometrist, not going to do that.
Yes.
I took a pause and then I did Master's in Development Studies. It was a new program at that time, so I was in the second cohort when Prof. Lucius Bortes was still here.
Yeah.
So I completed that in 2002 and took a long rest. Okay. But in principle, I was a nurse and I never thought I could go to nursing. Not never thought, because my initial, you know, qualification that I wanted to do was food technology.
Okay.
I was good at biology and I really wanted to do that. But you know what? They say when your steps are ordered by the Lord, He takes you where He wants you to go.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, and then I became a community liaison officer just 1 year, 6 months. And then I joined Department of Finance, which was then called Finance, Expenditure and Economic Affairs, the longest
Goodness,
name.
Yes.
For 3 years, I was there doing transformation program. And then I joined the Public Service Commission, which I always say is one of the highest, you know, structures in government.
Mm.
And I worked there for 6 years as a deputy director. At that time, I had already done, I think I completed my master's when I was in the Public Service Commission. Briefly, that's that, yeah.
So, but that's quite a journey. And I mean, I've got so many follow-up questions, you know. Like, okay. First of all, why not nursing? Why didn't you continue with that?
I love people and I love helping people. But you won't believe, I'm so afraid of blood.
Okay.
So what frustrated me was while I was still a student, is just being in the casualty and seeing blood. So luckily, I ended up working with babies. So I love children. Oh, I love children. So I would cover them, I would play with them, even as a professional nurse. So, but also, I get easily bored. I don't want to do the same thing over and over again.
Okay.
So I always say you go to the hospital, I watch the babies or the child, the patient, I give them food, I give them medication, I write a report, and that's it. The following day I go, do the same thing. Okay. No.
Okay.
But okay, let me go. And also I think at that time it was when the transformation was really happening in South Africa, because I left nursing in 1996. And we were told that there's going to be rationalization, people are going to be moved to different places. And I thought, before they do that, let me move myself.
Yes.
And then I was
clever, very clever.
Yes. I think sometimes you need to, you know, look at the circumstances and say, do I still want to be here? So I really applied for that. And I enjoy it because being a community liaison officer went very well with part of nursing, the community nursing science that I did within the four-year diploma.
Mm.
So I enjoyed working within the communities, helping them with community projects, you know, income generation projects. You know, that time they called it feeding scheme, the Nelson Mandela, you know, feeding scheme. I was the one promoting those on radio, let's say, most of the time, and also through newsletters and all that, and even going into the communities, teaching them about these projects, helping them, the daycare centers and the primary schools and the community in general. So I enjoyed it. 1 year, 6 months. Yeah, it felt like long, and then I got another position.
Yes, and it sounds like quite a lot of that yeah. you actually had to do, you know, before that time. Is that also where your interest for entrepreneurship started while you were working with the community?
Yes, definitely. Okay. I developed that passion because when I went to the Department of Finance, I loved the fact that while I was not specifically managing the finances, but I was exposed, you know, yes. to the environment. So I was dealing with different projects, especially service delivery improvement projects. So then the passion was growing. That's why when I did my master's in development studies, my main was entrepreneurship and tourism. So that was like, yeah, preparing me.
So tell me about development studies. What does that mean? What does it entail? You have touched a little bit on entrepreneurship and tourism, mm-hmm. specifically in your master's, but what does it entail if somebody studies that?
Okay, yeah. Development studies, it's when we talk development, it means you're saying you're improving something from state A to B or C. So basically, we're looking at development in South Africa and even in the world because you are not always prepared to work everywhere. So I remember that normally when we started, they would ask you, what is the developmental issue that you think needs to be addressed and how do you think? And people would write, I think I wrote about HIV AIDS and I wrote about unemployment to see what exactly. So we look at such things. But also we looked at the services in government. That's part of development. If you look at the municipalities now, because my passion from there developed in looking at the IDPs, the integrated development plans of the municipalities, because that's where the entrepreneurship would actually stem and really empower the communities. Because if it's done properly, when you do the integrated development planning, you look at the challenges of the communities within your small area, and then because you have the budget as well as a municipal leader, you look at those and say, what skills do these people have? Mm-hmm. What are the needs that they have? Rather than us seeing, like now we see salons in one street, 10 salons, because everybody sees Belinda is having a salon, is succeeding, I'm going to start one.
Yes.
But if you're really doing a proper planning, you'll realize that there's no need for 10 salons. There might be people with different skills there who can just be guided and actually showed, you know, the way and given the opportunity to say, I'm good at this, you know, how can I be assisted? So that's part of development. So that's what I did. And that helped me because in 2011, I got interviewed for a community development coordination of development projects. It's called TABO, Community Development Trust, in Tabanchu and Botshabelo. So this is where I was enjoying because most of the women that are there, I was actually facilitating their development. The fund was developed when Tabanchu San left and came here. They realized that people were going to lose their jobs. And then they established a trust. That money was meant to develop people in Tabanchu and Botshabelo. So I became the coordinator of that trust.
Let's just quickly get to where you are currently at. You are now at the University of the Free State in Humanities, teaching and learning manager.
Yes.
How did you end up there? I mean, why was there an interest in that? And are you enjoying it?
Very much so. Very much. I really enjoy. I'm passionate about what I do. I think everything that I start to do, I make sure that I love it. I choose to be where I am. And I would not just expose myself to an interview of a job that I do not love. So that's what makes me passionate. I left the public service in 2007. To go in and into my business.
Yeah.
And then I joined academia in 2013. So while I was there at CUT, I ended up managing the University Capacity Development Grant in teaching and learning, almost similar to this one. So in 2019, this post was advertised, and I just saw myself fitting so well.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, wow, I'm going back to my university.
Yes,
where
alma
mater. Yes, yeah. So, and it happened. 2020, COVID, I started here.
So what would you say is the main focus areas for somebody in a teaching and learning manager position?
I think I'm here about people. It's really people development, both students and academics.
Mm.
Before we think about processes and systems, it's about people. Because we are here at the university to make sure that our students can learn. But we must also make sure that our academics can teach.
Yes.
Well, so these
Absolutely.
Two, that's why learning and teaching is very critical. And I regard myself as an agent that must create an enabling environment for these people to be able to succeed. If a lecturer succeeds in a teach, in his or her teaching, the student succeeds in the learning, and both of the three of us are happy,
yes.
the entire institution shines.
Yeah. And was there maybe one or two strategies that you have implemented in the time that you have been working here that have worked to put the lecturer and the student together?
Sure. Those excite me so much. Because I dealt with what is called scholarship of teaching and learning where I come from. I was mentored into academia through the scholarship of teaching and learning. And when I arrived, I could sense that this is the aspiration of the faculty. And I immediately started that. So I started that last year in 2021 in the faculty. And I got the support of my dean. So and there were colleagues that were, wow, we're excited to be part of this. And I actually, because when you think scholarship of teaching and learning, you think only lecturers. I actually engaged the support staff, the academic advisors as well, because what the role that they are playing is also contributing to the learning of students and the teaching
Absolutely.
Of our academics. So it's not only academics in this team. So we started that, and it's grown. We are really doing well. This is the second year. It's actually a full year, but I would say second year because I started last year, May. And I even presented at a conference just to share my journey of integrating this into the academic project. And people are excited about it. And because now the university has also started the Scholarship of Teaching and Learning Fellowship, so I'm able to feed in, you know, with the people that I'm working with in this project, in the faculty, to feed into the institutional project.
Yes.
So it becomes
that alignment.
Yes, that alignment is very important. So I'm really enjoying that. The other thing that I think I am excited that I managed to pull through is starting the Excellence Awards in the faculty. We did not have the Excellence Awards.
Mm.
Our people would have to apply for the institutional, you know, Vice Chancellor's Award.
Yes.
So I suggested that let's start in the faculty so that after we recognize them, then they can see, okay, I'm capable, I can apply for that. It's actually like, you know, preparing them and also recognizing them at the faculty level. And we pulled through our first one in April of this year.
Oh, that's great.
Yes. And that is actually saying recognize our academics, and they also feel good and they do more.
Yep.
And they become mentors to others.
And happy staff is going to give us happy students.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think the third one that I don't want to leave, because we speak student engagement within our university. And I started with a student endeavor. We just say we come together with the students and say, let's just have a conversation. What are your challenges? And then we have lecturers also saying, okay, this is how we can deal with it. Or we also have a challenge with you as students.
Yes.
How can we solve these? Because this is how we bring in. And because that was the first time last year, this year it became better. We had one first semester one, and then we're going to have the second semester in Kwakwa, and then we'll join them via the link. So it's actually helping us a lot to engage with our students and make them aware that we care about you, but also you'll realize that decolonization of the curriculum has been the topical issue. So we would like to have platforms where we can, in a relaxed manner, talk with our students about these topics so that we can hear what they feel, what they would like to have, and what their opinions are.
It's quite interesting, and I can't wait to just see this, you know, moving forward for many years. Hopefully you will stay a little bit longer yet as well. So now let's just get back to you as an individual. If you have to tell me about your career success, what is one of the highlights? And I know you will probably tell me, oh, there are many different ones. But if you have to highlight one of your recent successes that you are very proud of, what will that be?
Oh. Yeah, one thing maybe that I'm a published author of two books.
Okay.
So the first one, I think what excited me is when I resigned from a 17-year a career, you know, being in government.
Yeah.
I resigned in 2007. In 2009, I published my first book. So it took me time before I got to the second one. 2020. I've been sharing this wisdom for many years, and I decided to put it in a book. So my second book is Wisdom from the School of Life. I published that in 2020. Now, as I share, I do a lot of things. I do garden, vegetable gardens in my community engagement projects as an individual. And I decided to register an NPO, nonprofit organization, which is called Wisdom Enterprising Academy.
Okay.
Yeah, I actually use that wisdom. So that is for me is because it's going to impact communities. It's already impacting communities. Bar One, you know, Nestle Bar One, they have a campaign called It Starts With One.
Okay.
So they recognize me for as an academic who is empowering people, students, on their careers, on sustainable living and entrepreneurship, because these are my passions.
Yes.
So that for me, it's a campaign that's ending in December. So, yeah.
And where do we get these books?
From me.
Okay. All right. So we will have to put it there on our website. Definitely put a link in there. Yes. To go and read that as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, I could see that even in the humanities career week with our entrepreneurship part of it as well, you know, and that vegetable gardens idea.
Yes.
And I've heard now recently some of our students want to go and implement that as well. So that's quite exciting, you know, having you also part of those projects is quite interesting. Just to see you, you can just see in your eyes how excited you are. Yes, absolutely. So if you are now not a teaching and learning manager, there's no risk for you to resign now. Please don't resign. But if there's not a teaching and learning management position currently, but there's no risk and security as well, you don't need a job, basically, what would you do?
Just go and sing. I love singing.
Oh, look at that. You see? There are other passions
singing
as well.
Yeah, I've got so many passions.
Okay.
But I love singing. I just love it. I've always loved singing and acting drama at school.
Yes.
And I always say to our program director in the drama department, Daisy, maybe I must come and study drama.
Yeah, it's not too late.
It's not too late. So, yeah, I love singing a lot.
Back to real life.
Mm-hmm.
What makes you good at your job? You have so many different skills and competencies. How do you do it?
I think, as I said, love for people. I am very passionate about developing people. And even in nursing, my passion was always developing people. We had what we called in-service trainings. And most of the professional nurses were reluctant to go to those in-service training sessions because they didn't want to come in and teach others. But because I loved teaching, I would go, and when I come back, they'll be standing here and I'll be sharing. And I always, that has always been my passion. And I think it starts from boarding school. I was good at biology, as I said. Saturdays, I would be with my colleagues and I would teach them biology, the mitosis and meiosis, all those things.
Nice.
You understand? So I've always been passionate about developing people. And no wonder I'm ending in the university as a teaching and learning manager. So it's my passion. And I think my background, the careers, the different positions that I've been in have given me many skills, because I've definitely developed many skills. There's no skill that I do not have. I remember the finance issue. People ask, as a nurse, how did you end up? Because I was managing the grant of worth 14 million. for the 5 years that I was at the University of CUT. But now, it's because I was observant. When I was working in the finance department, we were about four assistant directors, and our boss would say, Rosalind, what is your story? Because, what your secret? Other people overspend, but you don't. And I say, it's like your budget in your house.
Yes.
I can't spend what I don't have. So I must first look at what I have before I think of, hey, Belinda, come in and teach our people or have a workshop. So it's a principle. And I developed that, and it really helped me. So having worked in all those has given me a lot of opportunity to develop many skills.
Mm.
Yeah.
And so therefore, yeah, I think that also the message that we would then want to give to our listeners also is that idea of use the position that you are currently in, because you might just develop yourself for something else. You definitely don't have to be limited. Just because you have started as a nurse doesn't mean that you're going to continue
exactly.
as a nurse.
Exactly. And for your information, I've noticed many nurses, my colleagues that we studied with in 1986, most of them are in different top positions in different places, mainly because, and most importantly, nursing gave us a lot of skills, because you become in charge of a ward at an early age. Remember, I qualified at the age of 24, I think.
Yes.
So
very young.
You become in charge of drugs that are to be given to a patient. You must be very cautious about that.
Mm.
And you need, the lives of patients are in your hands. You must make sure that the nurses do the work. So that is administration at its best. And it's very important. I took it serious, and that has taught me and the other positions as well.
Yeah.
So I think if let's say students are listening now in the humanities, I mean, I studied Bishop Science. In most cases, they'll think in humanities, what can you do?
Mm-hmm.
There's so many things that you can do in the humanities. I'm here. Being human is very important, and there are a lot of skills that we can learn.
Absolutely. Okay, so now it is time for this or that. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Coffee or tea?
Coffee. Though it makes me sick. That's what I'm saying.
You're my kind of person. Sweet or salty?
Salty.
Remote or on-site?
On-site.
For the
people.
I sort of knew it.
Yeah.
Every morning I
give thanks to my Creator for the life that He has given me.
Amen.
Yeah.
And my favorite word is?
Wisdom.
Yes, of course. It's in your book. And
yes,
we are definitely going to share that link.
Thank you
so much for this time. I will just speak for ages and ages. You really have quite an amazing journey, a career that you have built for yourself. And I really look up to you and what you
Thank
have accomplished
you so
to date. And good luck with everything. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Belinda, for having me.
That's it for now. Listen to all our episodes to make sure that you get into the fast lane of career success.